How is everybody? All right, I'm gonna put you on the spot if you're this guy or gal, but who does not like seeing all this snow? See, there's a few. I will say that I'm really grateful to be in this like different place in my life where before I was a roofing contractor, and so when it snowed like this, it was really inconvenient. And it made work hard and miserable, and everybody, like all of my guys, wanted to flee the phone call in the morning of, you know, where are you going today? So this is nice where I can be like, you know, between this and the rain, I could just listen to it rain and not be thinking about things like liability. You know, that's a gift. So I'm grateful to be here today. I was actually sick for like 2.5 weeks. Just could not get rid of it. And so it's nice to be back and with people. Of course, you know, the first day back, I don't get to see half the people because of the snow, but I'm grateful for each one of you guys that made it. So before I dig into my message, I want to share something, and I realize that we have quite a few new people who have been coming, and so I'm gonna catch us all up to speed. This will be like old news for a lot of people. You've heard this before, but we're going to start sharing something once a month about how the River Church is interacting and doing things in the community, in the local community. Once a month, we spend time talking about missions and what we do, but also there's things that we're doing in the community, and we're supporting other organizations that are doing good work. And so a couple of years ago, we started an initiative called the Community Connection Initiative. And basically what it was is, how many of you guys remember when we did the solar project? And we were raising money for the solar project. Yeah, so we put a large solar array on our roof, and the intention of that, we raised the money up front, which was, you know, around $75,000. And we raised the money up front, and the idea was that by having it up there, we would be able to, and paid up front, is that whatever return on investment we got from that, where the church would normally pay money to the electric company, now we saved that money, and we made the arrangement where, okay, we set that money aside to pour right into our community, so that no matter what, whether tithes are up or down or whatnot, there's always something that we're giving out, right? Because one of the principles that we practice here in generosity is you give, right? You give according to what the Lord has put on your heart. And how many of you guys have been in a situation where God has asked you to give when you had plenty? And how many times have you been in a situation where God has asked you to give the same thing when you didn't have plenty? Right? So that stays the same. So that's the heart behind it. And basically the mission statement of this was to create a stronger and healthier community through win-win dynamic by partnering with people in service and contribution based on common convictions. So what that basically means is, like, you know, you see a lot of division that happens with people arguing about this. Oh, we should do it this way, or oh, we should do it this way. But the thing is that even for us as believers, like, if someone that we see is out in the community is, like, believer or not, if they're doing something like caring for kids who don't have a home, opening up their homes and doing stuff like that, would you want to support that? Absolutely, right? So anyway, so we have a common conviction that we can work with on this person, believe it or not, you know, we can work with this person on, and we can actually make a better community by agreeing and working together on what we agree on, rather than just keep dividing based on what we disagree on. Make sense? So that's what this set out to do. And the scripture that really set this in motion is one of my favorites. I love, I don't quote a lot from the Passion Translation, but I loved how it put this. Proverbs 24, verse 3-4, it's not going to be up there, but it says, "Wise people are builders. They build families, businesses, communities, and through intelligence and insight, their enterprises are established and endure. Because of their skilled leadership, the hearts of the people are filled with the treasures of wisdom and the pleasures of spiritual wealth." One of my favorite verses. We all have such impact that we can make. So what we did, we set these core values of, our core values are partnership with those organizations that we have common conviction, abundance, like, hey, when God says give, there's always going to be a means to give, right? Always going to be a means. honor. We want to build a culture of honor, wisdom, just as the verse said, and his kingdom come. Because what is it we get? We increase wisdom and the pleasures of spiritual wealth, right? Spiritual wealth is a big deal. So that's the heart behind it. So that's why we did this. Because the cool thing about setting it up where the solar's already paid is I'm happy to say that we've got about a 40% return on our investment just in 2 years. Okay, just in 2 years. So I put these nice charts together and all that stuff to put up there. And apparently I did them in the wrong format. And I tried to load them this morning and I'm like, oh. So I apologize that I don't have anything to put up there, but there are these beautiful charts where, like, basically whatever the solar array up there produces, like in the summer it could be up to almost $1,200 a month, and in the winter it could be like in, you know, the lowest, if it snows a lot, it might be $300 or $250, something like that. But it's pretty awesome. Like, it fills in really quickly. So that's been really good. We're going to be talking more in months to come about the organizations we're supporting, like some of the work they're doing. I mean, these people are like helping to stop local trafficking. There are like, they're working with homeless. They're working with opportunities for our kids. Like, there are awesome things happening, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Why not partner, right? So on those things that we have common conviction in. So I wanted to reintroduce that. And again, I'm sorry that I don't have some beautiful graphs to show you, because I was even impressed with them, honestly, like humbly. But I was like, yeah, that totally says it, you know, better than I will. But we're excited to start sharing. So here in a few weeks, we'll have our first guest up. And each month, you'll be hearing more about what we're doing in the community. Sound good? Cool. Awesome. So that being said, Mark has been sharing out of leadership lessons of Moses. So leadership lessons of Moses. And I was supposed to share last week, but pretty much lost my voice. And I was like, sorry, Mark, day before. I'm like, sorry, Mark. And but obviously, he's a really good sport. And he went and handled it. And so the interesting thing about leadership lessons is that all of these things, like Mark's been talking about, like calling and embracing your calling. He's been talking about not making excuses. The thing about leadership is really just a basis of your character. So if you notice, like in times where the Lord is increasing your influence or things like that, what is he actually working on the most in you? Usually your character. And so, and you see all of those things, like you see the ups and the downs, and do you feel the ups and the downs when you get squeezed a little bit? Yes, because it works on your character. So so that's what he does, and this one's going to be no different. My hope for what I'm sharing today, though, is I'm going to be talking about getting alone with God. And you guys have heard me share a number of messages about, you know, quiet times, or really just the emphasis of being in his presence. And this one is going to be similar and different. There's something that I really want to try to communicate that I believe is meant to impart a couple of things. And so I'll get into that. But Jesus, it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You know, we learn that, do we want to like just hang out with Jesus like in our quiet times and then forget about him the rest of the day? Thank you. Somebody said no, right? Exactly. We want to grow a relationship that is consistent, you know, pray without ceasing, all that. The word gives a lot of instruction on this. But even Jesus, who's in perfect alignment with the Father, withdraws to go and pray, right? So obviously there's something there. And there's and I believe that one of the things that's there is that there's something that happens in that secret place, in that quiet place. Like Matthew 6, you know, talks about when you pray, go into your room by yourself. When you fast, don't let anybody know you're doing it. When you give, don't even let yourself know you're doing it, right? So there's something that happens in that secret place, that solitary place, that really defines your faith. And it's not so much you, but the presence of God working in you in an unbiased scenario, okay? He is free to talk to you about anything. Because, like, are you in a public conversation? No, if you're by yourself, right? Exactly. Unless you've got multiple personalities or something, right? So it's a wonderful thing. And I'm going to paint a couple pictures around that. But when I say like getting alone with God, in some cases I'll be talking about like, you know, your personal daily times, like your quiet times. I might be talking about like a short-term retreat, like a few days a week. I like to take, you know, a few days or a week off at least two, maybe three times a year because this is so important to me. Or maybe like a sabbatical. Jakin, who was up here a couple weeks ago, when he spent a lot of time here in Durango, he was on a one-year sabbatical where the Lord's like, just take a break for a year, and all he would do is just come to the church and pray. You know, that's literally like all he would do. And he would tell me things too. He'd be like, he's pretty hardcore with a lot of stuff. I love it. But he's like, Nick, you need to just go lock yourself in a room for like 3 days and not eat anything. And I was like, that really doesn't sound exciting. But in certain scenarios, like, no, I agree. That's what I need. And so getting alone to spend time with him. And one of my favorite stories about this, like, you know, we talk about tithing and how when you give, the Lord promises a return to you, right? He promises a return to you. And he's not necessarily saying, like, I'm going to return this amount of money or whatnot, but he says, test me in this, right? And see if I don't open up the heavens on your behalf. What do you think he does when you give of your time? Do you think it's different? I promise you it's not. I promise you it's not. Okay? This is a very big limiting belief, because what is the number one thing that the enemy tells you when it comes to like making a point to spend time with God? You don't have the time. Right? When the contrary, the truth is far the opposite, right? Far the opposite. In fact, your time will leverage greater. Your heart will be freer. Everything you really need is wrapped up in the space of his presence. That's what sets you apart from anybody in the world, is the presence of God. Presence of God. So, coming into the story of Moses, there's a conversation that Moses has with the Lord that I think paints a beautiful picture of this. It's one of my favorite pieces in Scripture. And I'm going to read the first part as like a preface to give you context of what's actually happening. The words aren't on the screen because it was a lot of text, and I'm just like, they don't need to do that. So Exodus chapter 33, I'm going to start with verses 7 through 11. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request to the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They'd all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And I picture like God just like hemming him in, you know, beautiful picture. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks with a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Okay, so this was the Israelites moving out of Egypt, right, and coming into the promised land. And there's the tent of meeting. And gosh, I wish I could like speak a whole other message on this one, that who stayed behind? Joshua, right? Joshua is this guy that's following Moses, and I'd love to share a message on this, but what I really want to point out, just as a side note, a fun tangent, is it wasn't just Joshua, it was the next leader of Israel sat and waited. And where did he learn that from? Where did he learn that from? Where are your kids going to learn it from? Right? You or someone who will step in where you can't or where you haven't, if that's the case, right? But they need an example like that. I had a mentor, thankfully, because I didn't learn this from my folks, but I had a mentor that, gosh, he is awesome. Like I've told you about him. He would spend, he oriented his schedule so that, and he chose kind of his profession, if you will. The Lord called him into something, but he set it up so that he could spend 3 to 4 hours in the morning with the Lord every day. And of course, there were exceptions, you know, but like that was his go-to. And it wasn't because of like this religious time slot. It's because he told me, he's like, you know, Nick, if I had to make a if I had to pray every moment that I needed to make a decision, like, that's just impractical. Like, I have to learn to lean into the Holy Spirit and know what the Lord is saying and know what the Word is saying before it even happens. So you know what? I spend a lot of time in it. So when I spend that time, it orients my eyes for the rest of the day. That's what it does, okay? It's not just about checking off your mark. It's like, this is how you live life, right? This teaches you and trains you how to live life. So this is what's happening here. This is what Moses goes to. He goes all the time, right? And so there's such reverence there that even all the people watch and bow at their tents when he goes in. I can't imagine. Like, that's just not a culture of honor that we're used to, right? In America especially. But so it continues in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 through 14. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You've told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." So there's one statement I want to sit on for a sec, and it's this, where Moses says, if it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully. So I may understand you more fully. You know, when he said, like, if this is the case, Moses might have had some doubts, right? Well, you got to think about this, like, you know, we like to look at, say, like, oh, look, the, you know, Israelites, they had lots of rebellion and all that stuff. Moses barely got an introduction to the Father before they did, right? It was not that long before that, okay? So he's learning just as much. It's just that he went and he's going, but he's still in this learning place too. And I don't know if this is a statement of doubt or not. It could be, like, but the fact is that one thing is clear. He's like, I hear what you're saying. You've said this and you've said that. I don't know that I really comprehend that. So teach me your ways so that I can understand you more fully. Okay, teach me your ways so that I can understand you more fully. I'm going to propose something about spending time alone with God. Is that one of the biggest issues of why that is so challenging for so many people is because it's a major topic of conversation. One of the biggest issues of why that is so challenging for so many people is actually not because of discipline problems and all that stuff. I'm not going to say those don't exist, but it's because we just don't really understand who God is and exactly what has happened for us to have that gift to be in his presence. Okay? And to a certain level, I'm going to unpack this a little bit. To a certain level, that's all of us, right? I hope that in my life that, like, even as if I'm 80 years old, 90 years old, I'll understand way more than I do now, okay? But there will still be, do you think that I'm going to know everything about God? No, right? But if you, like, do we know exactly who is waiting for us there and how holy he is? Like, I've been in my quiet times recently, you know, it was coming up in the book of John where it's like, he is the true light that came to bring light to all men. And I've been digging into that and looking into that. And I'm like, gosh, what does that really mean? I believe it, but I have no context for that. The true light to bring light to all men. Lord, show me so I can see and I can understand. Help me understand. Help me see. I want to know you more. Do we know what he carries? Do we understand how much he really wants to be with us and how much he really wants us to be with him? If you were 100% clear on that, like, all the time, because again, that's a lie that the enemy brings, right? Is that it's like, you know, especially after you've made a choice you're not proud of, like, oh, he doesn't want to be with you, or there's not much for you there, or why would you be forgiven, right? Those things pop up. But that's not the truth. Do we realize exactly, like, how much does he really want to be with me? You know, I was thinking about it, like, if you read through all the prophetic books and stuff, like, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all that. There's a lot of like pretty harsh prophecies in there, right? But the thing about prophecy, we were talking about it this morning at Sunday school, is that it says that the nature of prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Okay, that's in 1 Corinthians. The purpose of prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Okay, those are all things of love. If you read the book of Jeremiah or you read the book of Isaiah or whatnot, and everything that you read that sounds so harsh, if you're like, how is this strengthening, encouraging, and comforting? That changes how you read it, right? Because your perspective changes if you're like, you know what? I know he wants to be with me. And I know that everything he's done is so that I could be sitting with him right now, regardless of what happened. Do we know the vastness of things that have taken place just so that we could sit with him and pray, and regardless of any decision we've made, he would not hold our sin against us, for us who believe? Do you understand the vastness of things that have taken place for that to be possible? Just crazy. And the more that we come to know those things, the more that we come to understand those things, the more that we ask, hey, show me what that means. Now, it's not so much an issue of like, oh, I got to make sure that I get out of bed and all that stuff, because you're like, you know what? There's not a better place on this planet for me to be right now. You know, I was sitting in bed like, I have this rule, like sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm thinking about things I don't want to be thinking about, and they keep me up, right? And after about 20 or 30 minutes, if I can't fall back asleep, then I get out of bed and I, like, usually what I do is I find some like story section in the Bible and I'll read till I fall asleep, because it's really easy for me to fall asleep if I do that. The other day I got up and I woke up, was thinking about things I didn't want to be thinking about, and I went and I, the Lord's taking me through the book of John right now in some, in real in-depth, and I was like, you know, I'm going to spend some time in that. And by the end of like, you know, an hour, hour and a half in that, in the middle of the night, instead of having that attitude of like, oh, I just need to go back to sleep, like a lot of times I have, I'm like, you know what? You could wake me up anytime for something like this. This is really great. Do you see how that changes when you're like, look at what you are, like, look at what you're doing. Look how much you love me. Like, you'll wake me up for this. Like, this was a treat. This was a privilege. Like, and a lot of times I spend with you, like, I'm grateful for every time. And like, but you really gave me a treat tonight that was just particularly speaking to my spirit. Thank you. Right? Thank you. Is anyone going to know everything about God when they first come to be introduced? Absolutely not. Of course, that's stupid. Why would we even think that? That's where faith fills in the gap to give us encouragement to go and spend time alone with him and believe. For it says that all of the promises that we receive are through faith, right? All of the promises that we receive through God are through faith, okay? So to have the heart to go and sit with him is something that he wants to increase. Okay, and I'm going to try to paint a picture of this. Like, let's say that you meet someone that is, and you start up a friendship, and this other person is like, you know, they are kind, they are hospitable, they take genuine interest in you, but you know that they're someone of stature. You don't exactly understand what kind of stature or how intense it is, but you're like, okay, someone of stature, and you know, they enjoy spending time with me. And so soon they invite you over to their house. And you're like, okay. Does anybody get nervous when they go to people's house like that? I've been nervous a few times going to people's house like that. I'm just like, you know, my own insecurities, I guess, of like, wow, you seem like you've done great things. And then at the other place, I'm like, I'm so grateful to spend time with you and that you'd invite me here and do that. And so you start going over to their house and you build this relationship with this person. You see that they care for you, like, not just a little bit. There's something more sincere and genuine than you've ever understood. And you're like, this is the kind of friendship or relationship I would hope for in my life. And before you know it, that relationship, it's not like an invitation only. In fact, you just show up when you want. You're always invited. And they come over to you too, right? It goes both ways. And you build this beautiful friendship and you're like, man, I can tell that like my life is so much better just by knowing them. In fact, and just the character of this other person, like I'd go to their house and it would be just, it'd be an honor and a privilege just to do their dishes or mow their lawn. Like I'd just love to bless them because I think so highly of them. I would be 100% okay if I went over there and I didn't even say a word and I just listened to their stories and their teaching and their wisdom. And if that's all I heard, man, that would be awesome. And I'd praise it. I would be encouraged by it and I'd let it sink into my own spirit. If that's like in that kind of a dynamic, something wonderful is being born, right? You're growing an understanding of who this person actually is for you. So then do you want to naturally go over there? Yes, right? It's a natural thing. And here's where discipline comes in. Discipline is like, this is the works part of faith that is like, you know, discipline is a beautiful thing, very beautiful thing. There's a lot of things that we can't do without discipline, right? But the thing about this kind of relationship is that where discipline comes in is among some other areas, but in this thing, it's like, you know what? This person invited me over to the house and gosh, I'm tired and stuff. I just don't know if I want to go tonight. But you know in your heart that you would be happy when you did. You know that when you went, it would be so much greater. You'd walk away feeling encouraged. And again, even if all you did was go over and if you could go over and just mow their lawn, just to bless them, it'd be a great thing. The heart of spending time with him is meant to grow organically like that. Discipline will never create for your relationship with God what a few moments in his presence will. Okay? When he can speak heart to heart with you and there's no lines and there's no boundaries and you're like outside of what's sitting in you that he's happy to work on, but he's got no lines and boundaries about what to talk to you about. What could happen in a scenario like that? So when Moses says, if this is the case, then teach me your ways so that I could understand you more fully. He's saying, I just want to know you. Like, I don't have a lot of context for what you're saying, what you mean by this, but if I could know you more, I know it would change my life. He goes further in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 through 18. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and all your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. Your presence among us sets me and your people apart from all other people on the earth. So if you knew that just by being with him would totally separate your life from any of the life of the world, just by being with him, and that he made that possible, does that change your desire to want to be with him? Does that encourage you to want to be with him? Does that say like, hey, I can trust my needs, I can trust my heart to him, and even if he says, I want you to lay it all down and all your interests, does it say, I think I can trust him with that? That's what he wants to build. That's what he wants to do. I heard that discipline to say like, where you know it's going to be the best thing if you go. That's how quiet times are a lot of times. You get up and like, your alarm goes off and you're tired and you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna make it this morning. Or maybe it's better if I just sleep. And you know what? Sometimes I let myself sleep. That's okay. Sometimes. If that's my lifestyle, that might not be okay. All right. Or let me put it this way. It's very costly to make that choice. Very costly to make that choice. Why? Because the one who made a way for me to have that time and to sit with Jesus and like, and to not have like my sin against me, a lot happened for that. And that's an awesome place to be. That's an awesome place to be. Discipline is, Abraham Lincoln said, discipline is choosing between what we want now and what we want most. Discipline is between is the choice between what we want now and what we want most. So what is it that you want most? Right? The more that he becomes our treasure, the more we naturally make those choices to be with him. Is it going to take some discipline too? Yeah, right? Because sometimes we don't know those things, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Right? The gap in between that is to have faith, right? If the Lord says, like, let's say you go through a hard situation, and the Lord says that, just like he said to Moses, like, I'm going to give you rest and everything will be fine for you, okay? You're going to walk in the desert for 40 years and I'm going to give you rest and everything will be fine for you. Yet that's a word that could carry Moses through the whole thing. If that's all he had to go off of, do you think he'd be encouraged by that? That's something he would always be able to go back to. You know what? I will have rest and everything will be fine for me. Why? Because he said so. What does that take to believe something like that when all of the physical manifestations don't line up? Faith. Faith. To believe that God is good no matter what. Would that change how we see things this week? Would that change how we see things today? Yes. Do we really believe in that? How much do we believe that? To what extent will we let him teach us something new about how good he is? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And I really believe that your treasure trains your eyes. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your heart is, that's what you go looking for. Okay, this shows up in like every, this could be, you know, in, of course, probably a lot of people thought of money right off the bat because I used the word treasure, right? So if you go into, if you're looking for money, like if really money is your heart, like you're thinking, oh, I have security from money, I have encouragement from money, I have this or this or this, whatever it might be, right? If you go looking into that and you're like, okay, if that's my treasure, then what are you always looking to do? Make more money, right? Because you're like, oh, then all of those things will increase. But then here's a good fun example. Your children. For all of you who have children, are they not your treasure? They're your treasure. So then you find yourself watching all the little things that they do. All the little things that they do. In fact, you're like, man, I wonder what they're gonna do next. In fact, you're curious to see, like, let's give him this and see what he does with it. Right? So if the Lord is our treasure, if we receive Jesus as the gift that he is, what happens in our heart? We start looking at all of the things that he's doing. We start looking to all of the places that he's working. And now all of a sudden we're like the places where we're like, oh man, he's not doing anything in that or in this or whatnot. All of a sudden now we're like, oh, maybe I just didn't have the eyes to see it. And now I do. Thank you for opening my eyes. Show me your ways so that I may understand you more fully. And if you're not coming with us, then don't let us go anywhere, because what sets us apart is your presence. Makes us different from anybody on the earth. Okay? That makes every person in this room different from all those who don't believe. Okay, because if the presence of God sits with you and teaches you and you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, are you not different? This isn't to say you're better than another person or anything. Hear me. Okay, but are you not different? Has something happened to you that has not happened to someone else? Yes. Our treasure trains our eyes. Hebrews 12, 1b through 2a says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. This is the point of time alone with him. Okay, there's some lessons, just like some lessons you can only learn in hard times, some lessons you can only learn in good times, right? Some lessons you can only learn in community, some lessons you can only learn in just being with him, just you and him. Okay, there's lessons everywhere, and some of them are like that. And the nature of being alone with him is the opportunity to ask the questions of, I know you've said this. I read this in your word. I've heard your spirit say it. If that's true, and not from like a, you know, testing place, but if that's true, show me so I can understand you and where you're coming from. Help me see the truth in it. Let me see it so I'm not ignorant. Open my eyes so that I can continue to enjoy your favor, as Moses said. Open my eyes so I could continue to enjoy your favor. Invite the worship team to come back up, please. I want to share just a story of something I had about a month ago. A little over a month ago, I took a trip down to Phoenix. And this has been something I've been wanting to do for a number of years. I just wanted to go down and hike the Superstitions. And originally, it was going to be like a family trip. And I told Kristen, I was like, oh, I just want like one day to be able to go down there and hike. And then I think after that, like, I'll have my fill at least, and, you know, we can do all the family stuff. But if you can just give me one day. And she looks at me, and I think she just knows me too well. And she's like, I think you're going to want more than one day. So she says, okay, why don't we just let this trip be about you, and let's do a separate trip with that's just the family. I was like, huh, brilliant. Brilliant. So anyway, so I went down there, and it was like a five-day trip. You know, I think I was on the ground for 3 days, and I was driving a couple days. And what's interesting is, like, sometimes things in your life feel like they're discouraging things, even. They can feel like they just are not going to end, or you're like, when is this going to turn, or when is my heart going to turn in this, or what's going to happen? And So before I left on this trip, I had this, the Lord reminded me of this memory. My parents are divorced, and like I would spend the summers down in Phoenix in my mom's custody, and then I'd come back up here for the school year with my dad. And so I spent a lot of time down in Phoenix in my early life, and the Lord gave me this memory, and it was like a park, and it's this long park with this concrete sidewalk. And I explained it to my mom. I'm like, I think I'm supposed to go find this place. And so I was like, basically, it's a long park with a concrete sidewalk. Any idea? And she's like, yeah, I know just the one. I was like, great, that's a miracle. So, and she did. She knew just the one. She pointed out on a map, and I went and I found it. And before I went down there, I was asking the Lord. I was like, even just give me a book to read, like so that this drive isn't unbearable. Like, and I'd love for it to go fast and all that. And he gave me the title of a book that I really wasn't that motivated to read just because of the part of the storyline. And that was that, and it was The Shack. And I don't know how many of you guys have read The Shack, but I read it, and or I listened to it on the way down. It was interesting because I'm not going to go into the story, but there's a premise where it talks about this story. Like, he shows up to basically go through this redemption of something that happened about 3.5 years ago. And something happened to me at that time frame too. And a number of things that have come from that. And there's been a redemption that's needed to take place in my own heart from that. And in the book, as they talk about the parallels, like they talk about the things that this guy is experiencing and some of the things going through his heart, it's like reading my mail of some of the things that are coming about. And so I'm listening to this, and I go down and I get down to Phoenix, and I'm like, wow, I really feel like the Lord wants to speak to me. I'm stopping at places that I remember along the way. It's like, he wants me to chase some memories. He wants me to do some things there. And so I go down there, and I'm out hiking the first couple of days. And I kind of had this, like, a little bit of a religious feeling where I'm just like, shouldn't I be doing something like more spiritual? Like, should I go and get this, should I go and be looking for these memories today? Should I go find this place today? And no, I spent the first 2 days hiking. And the Lord said to me, I want you to have fun. Right now, I want you to have fun. So I had fun. And I let it go. And I went to a good oyster house and I enjoyed myself, right? So I did that for a couple of days. And then the third day I went and I went to like five different places chasing some of these memories. Some of these things were from like 28 years ago, right? 28 years ago. And it's not like I necessarily found something healing, but he added a story, he added a piece to my story and filled in a gap on some things that like will continue to build and he'll continue to reveal to me. But he gave me another piece to say, hey, let's work on it together. Let's work on it together. I had one moment where from something that had happened earlier in my life, I felt this great compassion on myself. And you know, it's one thing like when you pity yourself or whatnot, but there was this one moment where I was like, I saw myself as a boy about a little older than my son's age. And I was like, you know, I could picture myself as that, caught in between a couple of people who just didn't know what, like, they couldn't figure it out. And it was easy to have a lot of compassion on that boy who was me looking at that. I was like, you know, I really believe that that's how the Lord saw all of it. Saw all of it. And I walked around. I cried. I laughed. I smiled. I walked, you know, even on my light day, I think I went 15 or 20 miles. Just because I'm like, I was having so much fun going on walks. You just keep going. It's like, and you don't get tired and you're having fun with him and you're enjoying the time and you're asking questions and like, Lord, am I just a total fool in this particular area? And in some places he brought conviction and in some places he affirmed me. Do you think that the Lord knows where you need conviction and where you need affirmed? Hear it. Hear it. They both work together. Both are for our good. That's what the quiet place is for. That's what that secret place is for. Spend the time with him and know what it, learn what it means to worship him. Learn what it means to give him praise. Because here's the thing. When I start going through some of those convictions and all that stuff, I just started to say, thank you for that. And you know what? I didn't like tell myself, oh, I need to be better at Thanksgiving or whatnot. No, it just came. Because you make yourself available to being present with him. So that's what I want to pray for you guys today and for myself. I want to say, Lord, that will you teach us your ways so that we could understand you more fully? Because I know that the more I get to know you, the more I want to spend time with you. And while that's always been for, thank you, that most of my life that's been very, very consistent, I see myself wanting more and more and more time with you. More interaction with you. And I want to ask that you do that for everyone here, Lord. Everyone here. Show them your goodness so that they have all the reason in the world to just run to you or to even go home today and there's no reason that they wouldn't just go sit in their room and even just say thank you and appreciate you for something that happened today. And let everyone in here be free to do that. Break any shame of like, oh, I never spend time with God or whatnot. Break any of the shame of that and instead let them see it as an opportunity of like one invitation after another. And maybe where they said no at one point, now they can just say yes. Now they can just say yes. Thank you, Lord, that there is no shame in you and that you've given us this privilege and opportunity to be with you and that you made that possible by your Son. Love you, Lord. Your name, Jesus. Amen.